John chapter 4, verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of.
Right.
Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Amen.
And herein is that saying true, one soweth
right.
And another reapeth.
Right.
I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor.
Yes.
Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors.
Right.
Let's go, Lord, a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for the blessed word of God. Now, Lord, you know the help that I need, and what I stand in greatest need of tonight is your power. And, God, I ask that now you'd illuminate my mind and give me that holy unction from above. God, I ask that you'd open the hearts of the hearers tonight and their ears and their eyes. God, I would also ask that, Lord, you would help us to redefine what it is you've called us to do. And not only to redefine it, but, God, to rehearse it in our ears. Lord, if there be something that, God, we need to repent of in the ministry, I pray that God can cause folk tonight to admit their failures. And, God, I would ask that you'd help us to realize that, God, we've got a lot of labor ahead of us. We've got a lot of work. And God, I would ask that you'd show us the field and show us the fields. God, we'll give you the glory for it and the honor for it tonight. Give us wisdom tonight as we stand behind the sacred desk and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I, Lord, I know and I understand that there are men here that are more aged than I am, but you've put the lot on me tonight to stand behind this place and preach the Word of God. Lord, I know that I've got nothing to give these men that's new, but Lord, the old truths need to be rehashed and rehearsed in our ears. And God, we need to look once again at the law that's before us in the Scriptures concerning the call of God in our lives and the help of God in our call. Lord, give us direction now, I pray in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus against the devil. And Lord, I thank you for letting the lights come on. God, Lord, that we might be able to see the Word of God tonight. I was willing and ready to preach it, Lord, any way that you would have me to do it. But I thank you for this opportunity tonight to have it, Lord, a little bit easier. But not only that, there's a reason for it. You want these men and these women, these boys and these girls to see the Word of God and what it says. And we're going to give you the glory and the praise now for what you do tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. I have a series of messages that I have just recently, in fact, last week, put them together. I have preached from these texts many times, but in a different light. But I had put some messages together on lift up eyes. And somebody said, well, you should have said lifted up eyes. Well, some folk haven't lifted their eyes up yet. I had to preach about a man that lifted up his eyes in hell, and some folk haven't done that, and thank God I never will. But I did preach some messages, a series of messages on lifted up eyes, or lift up your eyes. And this is one of the places that I preached from last week, and I really thought that I was going to be preaching it tomorrow night. But I can't get it off my mind today or tonight. And I knew this afternoon that this is what the Lord was going to have me to do this evening. And then right just before church, I was enlightened by some other verses. And I was hustling and hurrying to get them down, and the electricity went down on me. But I got some things down that I felt like the Lord would have me to preach on tonight for this service. And I want to preach tonight on the law of the harvest, or lifting up your eyes unto the harvest. Now, when I read this verse in verse number 35, I began to study and began to ponder and wonder what all Jesus was saying. I don't claim to know everything out of the Word of God. I claim to know the essentials.
Amen.
But there's a lot of things that I haven't studied, words I haven't studied, places I haven't necessarily done a great deep study on. But this is one of the places that I felt as though God was having me to zero in on, and I began to look it over. And he said in verse number 35, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I stand to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit in life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." But the verse that really got hold me was verse 38, where he said, "I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that, I thought, well, that's not true about many men in the ministry. And so I began to wonder what it was Jesus was talking about. And as I began to look it over, he was talking to his disciples and realized something with me. That in John chapter number 5, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem ready to be crucified. This was already 3 years of his ministry gone. He was on his way now to Jerusalem. He was on his way to die. In John chapter 5, already. A lot of the chapters here that are before us, and I know I said this the other night, but there's some that weren't here the other night, but we got to realize Jesus was preaching and teaching in that area for 3 years, plowing and planting, preparing the soil. And he was telling these disciples and these apostles, it's time for you now to reap that which I have already labored in.
Amen. Yeah.
So there's a law of the harvest.
Right.
There's got to be labor and there's got to be work. In the law of the harvest, we find that so all in the scriptures. A lot of it, I guess you could say, is self-explanatory.
Yep.
And logic. Deductions from human standpoint, because Jesus used many illustrations on the human side so we could understand the spiritual things. And one of them was the harvest. I want to preach tonight just for a little while on the law of the harvest. We've got to understand that Jesus pulverized many hearts for 3 years. The Pharisees and the scribes got mad at him for the messages that he preached and despised his message and didn't like what he was saying because he was expecting them to give up their old ways and start following him, and they liked their old ways. They liked them. They enjoyed them. Now in the law of the harvest, I want you to see first of all that there's the preparation of the soil. In order for me to preach this message, we have got to go back to Matthew chapter 13.
Right.
And that's where I want you to go tonight with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 13. And we're going to look at the four different types of soil that are before us. And then we're going to deal with the seed for a little while. And then we're going to deal with the sower for a little while. And the soil is very important. That's before us, that which we see here in Matthew 13. It's important to know what it is that Jesus is saying in these chapters and in these verses that are before us. It's very important to understand what it is he's talking about.
Yes.
There's a lot of misinterpretation and misunderstanding today about the harvest.
Yes, sir.
About the harvest.
Yes, sir.
And in Matthew 13, in verse 1, he said, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now I'm going to just go on down for a sake of time and read verse number 9. After he got done speaking these words, he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Now I want you to see that word there where he said, understand.
That's right.
Neither do they understand, because this is a key to what Jesus' message was all about.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, this message to those that were listening to him, the Pharisees and those that didn't understand, this was a message of rebuke and condemnation to their ears.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like that. Now verse 14 it says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart,
right,
and should be converted,
right,
and I should heal them.
Right.
You got to understand that verse in its context. That is, Jesus said, if they don't understand, they can't be converted.
That's right. You're right, sir. You got to have it.
So what does a man have to know? He doesn't have to know a whole lot to be saved. He's got to know one thing, bud. He's got to know that he's a lost sinner without God,
right,
and that he has to repent of his sin,
right,
that he has to be willing to turn everything over to God, lock, stock, and barrel, that this new life in Christ is different than the one I used to live,
amen,
that I'm not holding on to my religion or my own righteousness, nor am I holding on to my wickedness anymore.
Right.
Listen, a man who gets saved ain't a drunkard anymore. A woman who gets saved won't be a harlot anymore.
Right.
A person that gets saved won't be what they used to be. But a lot of them don't understand, so they've never been converted.
That's right. You're right.
And we're living in a day. I had a preacher sitting across the table from me one day and said, Brother Tim, they don't understand repentance today. I said, hey, brother, why do you think God left us here?
Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
To tell them,
yes,
but they don't understand. Well, that's exactly what Jesus said they got to do before they can be converted.
That's right.
We got to be careful the way we deal with people's souls. Shallow evangelism is destroying American Christianity.
Yes, sir.
One, two, three, get down on your knee. One, two, three, repeat after me.
No, sir. Won't work.
I won't even pass out a gospel tract that has a canned prayer on it.
Come on. Amen. Come on.
You're welcome.
That's right.
I left the gospel printing ministry because I was in disagreement. I don't believe anybody ever was saved by saying a prayer.
That's right.
The Catholics believe that.
That's right.
They get them beats. Holy Mary, Mother of God, purpose for the Son of the Holy Mary, Mother of God, purpose for the Son of the Holy Mary. They've got it right down, buddy. It's canned.
That's right.
And if you say these words, you'll be saved. We got Baptists that practice that.
Amen.
And the people that are going through the motions are not even understanding what motions they're going through. They don't know why they're praying for the most part. Well, some of them know they're praying so that they don't go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't come to save people from hell. He came to save them from sin.
That's right.
And being saved from sin will keep you out of hell.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Some folks just ain't been saved from sin.
That's right.
Easy believism is destroying us today.
Right.
You say, Brother Tim, that sounds like lordship to me. Guilty as a hound dog sucking eggs, friend.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
When I got saved, I trusted Christ as my Lord.
That's right.
I submitted to Him. I didn't want my old life anymore. Whatever He wanted, I wanted. And I can show it to you in the book, friend. If you got time tonight, I plan on it here just in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right. Keep them out of the book.
2,500 times the name Lord is used in the Bible with reference to God. 33 times Savior. And today we have a lopsided gospel. He's the Savior, but He's not the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, come and receive Jesus as Savior. Later on you can make Him Lord. That's not Bible salvation. And I don't always know how it's going to be taken when I say it. But
right.
My job is not to worry about that.
Right.
Because Jesus said there were some that would see and wouldn't see. There were some that would hear and wouldn't hear. And there were some that just could never understand.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You're right, preacher. Right. You're right.
People got the idea today that grace means you can be saved and live any way you want to. Jude, who said that we are to contend for the faith, said that there would be those in the last days that would turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
That's
lewdness, looseness, lewd living.
Right.
When a man says the greatest soul winner he ever has in his church is getting over a drunk, he doesn't understand salvation himself. I tell you, he said it. A guy in Longview, Texas, his name is Bob Gray. He's a graduate of Jack Hyle School. I wasn't planning on being so rough tonight, but I can't help it. It's the truth. My daddy was in the meeting when the man stood up and said it, and he said, if you don't agree with what I say, don't come to me and talk to me afterwards, because my mind's already made up. You know what he's saying? I'm already going to hell, and don't stop me from it. He doesn't understand what salvation really is.
Right.
Salvation is, I'm a liar. I'm not an easy man, I'm a liar. I was the things that I used to be.
That's right.
I was dead in trespasses and sins.
That's right.
But I'm not anymore.
That's right.
That doesn't make me sinless because I'm saved.
Right.
But ever since I've been saved, I've wanted to be.
Amen.
Right.
See, before I got saved, I dealt with my sin.
Uh-huh.
I was trusting my religion. I was trusting my works.
Yeah.
And I never saw myself wicked before God.
Oh, that's it.
A sinner, that was a rebel against God. I never saw myself that way until the Holy Ghost got a hold of me one day.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't believe in this word-only stuff.
Right.
Do you agree with the word? You agree with the word? Wait a minute. There's a work of the Holy Ghost you can't leave out.
Amen.
And it's called conviction.
That's right.
And the law of the harvest has to have preparation of the soil,
yes, sir.
Which is a type of the soul.
Yes, sir.
God's not a dumb farmer. He wouldn't go out in a field and plant corn in a field that wasn't plowed.
Right, yeah.
So for 3 years, Jesus put his hands to the plow and preached, repent! 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 And by the way, I want to say something to you. The kingdom of heaven was not a different gospel than the one I'm preaching tonight.
Right.
And if you don't like that, you can talk to me after service. I ain't got time to argue about that right now.
Amen. You're right.
These guys are always dissecting the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, making them different kingdoms all the time.
Come on.
You know why? Because they say that the faith plus works was the testimony of Christ for the Jews, and now we're saved by grace. That gives us a license to sin. Stanley Webb like that ought to have his heart get right with God before he ever gets to the pulpit anyway.
Right.
Now, who are you mad at? I'm mad at the devil.
Amen.
Because I was in religion from the time I was 14 years old until I was 22, lost as a goose in a sandstorm on my road to hell because I was dependent on a little prayer I had said and my heart had never been prepared for the for the seed.
Right. You're right.
I was never convicted about my sin.
Yeah.
I was afraid I was going to go to hell, but that's Jesus never asked anybody, do you want to go to heaven or hell when you die?
Uh-huh.
Show me where he ever practiced that.
No, sir.
Who in their right mind wants to go to hell when they die?
Mm-hmm.
But Paul's testimony was to turn them from darkness to light.
Right.
From the power of Satan unto God.
Right.
That they might receive forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
In other words, if a man that isn't willing to turn from his own life, he can't believe God.
Right.
He can't be saved.
Right.
He can't come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
And so, when we go to our places, when I go to every revival I go to, even if I've been there before, I realize I got to start plowing again.
That's right. Always.
I got to tear up that old ground that's been unused. I got to get that plow point down in the ground, and I got to start plowing. And it's not always easy.
No, sir. No, sir.
But my job is to plow.
Right.
And to plant. God gives the increase.
Right.
But we've got man's converts today. Jesus said if they don't understand, they can't be converted.
Right.
All right, now that's there for very now. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes for they see. Now he's talking to his disciples. Thank God I see. And your ears for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable. So now he's going to explain it.
Right.
The reason I didn't read it to you before is because that's not the explanation this is. So I'll just read you the explanation. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now remember, if they didn't understand it, they couldn't be converted.
Right.
Remember that. Now verse number 20, but he that received seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and then on with joy receiveth it. Hey, have you ever said the word receive? It's not the word understand.
No, sir. No, not really. They didn't understand.
They received what the word said, that's word only hearers, but they didn't understand it.
Yeah, go on. Right.
They heard it, but didn't understand it. Now, how do you know who they are? Well, verse 21 it says, yet hath he no root in himself. There's a double whammy, if you can't believe it before. He says he's got no root in himself.
Yes.
And I know where the root has to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who the root is.
Amen, bro. Yeah.
Well, then it says, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I just don't understand these people, preacher, that I've run to God, and when I preach the truth, they get offended and leave. They don't come back. They didn't get saved.
That's right.
They didn't get saved. Right. Their heart is still hard.
Right.
That was set on the stony ground. It didn't have any root. And then in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word.
Right.
Colon. Semicolon. No understanding.
Right.
They hear the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There's a popular doctrine today that says these are carnal Christians.
No, sir.
Baloney. They're not saved.
That's right.
Come on.
They're not.
Hey, wait a minute. It says there's still no understanding. There's still no understanding. Jesus makes the distinction on the next soil.
Right.
He says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it.
Right.
Which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There's no such thing as a person who's saved that bears no fruit.
That's right. You're right. Not read the book.
No such thing. Jesus never said some of them don't bear any. He said some 100, some 60, some 30.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, the problem today is, we think that we can go out in America, we can dump some seed down in a little hole that we stuck down in the hole with our finger, give them a little bit of the Word of God, and the very same day, cut it down and get a harvest.
Right,
do it. Well, that's what we've been taught in our schools.
Yeah. Right. Lord.
I'm still of the persuasion and the belief that Jesus put his approval on the local church, and it's the job of the local church to train those that go out into the ministry.
Right.
That's why we've got the problem we've got today.
Right.
We send them up to some school, and they teach them their slop over there, and then they come back and infiltrate the church with it, go out and start their own churches if they can't take over where the preacher is,
right.
And they go out and start another one, and they lead people down the Romans road to hell.
Amen. That's right. You're right. Amen. Yes, sir.
And they got a church full of them. You can get somebody to come in and preach on repentance and get a whole bunch of them upset and they get confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the preacher says, you've confused my people.
Oh, no.
I probably have confused his people. But I've learned something about those who know God. You can't confuse them about it.
Right,
if you can be confused, you ought to be.
That's right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. When did the Holy Ghost ever get you under conviction?
Yeah.
So what is conviction? It's that which exposes you and reproves you of who you are and what you've done against God.
That's
exactly right. Rebuke. That's what the word means. When Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come to the world, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Reprove the world.
Right.
Reprove. Expose the man to himself. Some folk don't see their self-centers. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Right.
To repentance. You know, the new Bibles leave to repentance out.
Right.
They leave that out.
Lord,
they don't put it in. You know why? Because the modernists don't believe in repentance.
Right.
That they say that repentance and faith is the same side of the coin.
Lord, help.
Strange to me, repentance and faith don't listen. They're not the same word in the English language. I believe they both happen at the same time.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep,
same time.
Amen. Opposite sides of the coin. A man that won't turn and trust will not be saved.
That's right. Amen.
Will not be saved.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We've got publishing, people publishing and printing stuff that ought not to be passed out by independent fundamental Baptists.
That's right. You're right, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We're selling them a bill of goods.
That's right.
We're giving them the Baptist rosary.
Yeah.
And now you can't get them lost.
Right. There
you go. Yes, sir. Huh? You can't get them lost.
That's
right. So it's not your job to get them lost. I got news for you, friend. God left ministers here to show people and expose them to who they really are. And if the minister can't do it, it's because somebody else has done something earlier with the soil that has destroyed the work of God in that heart.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And blood on the hands of personal workers today.
Oh, Lord, help.
It's a shame and a cry. It's a crime against God.
Right.
To give glory to what man's done.
Right.
Not what God ought to get glory for. Well, I can't say anything against him. He's built a great work. He's got the biggest Sunday school on. Hey, let me ask you a question. Since when does numbers mean success with God?
Right, right, right.
Noah was successful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There's only eight of them that got on the ark.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock."
That's right.
Now, he didn't say big, large, huge, humongous, big, gargantuous flock. I'm trying to use some great big words, but I don't know where they all are. He said, "Fear not, little flock."
Yes, you're right.
You read these monthly gospel periodicals, they say 5,000 professions of faith last year and they have 800 enrolled in their Sunday school.
Lord, something all wrong. You're right.
Did I read that right? That's what it said. That's a bunch of hog slop.
Yeah.
Right, bro.
Amen. And I tried to tell those fellas to their face, but they won't let me. But that's really what Jesus was doing.
Amen.
He said, "You go all the way around the world to make one proselyte." He said to them hypocrites in Matthew 23, "You go all the way around the world to make one proselyte, and you'll make them twofold more child of hell than they were before."
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
My, my. We better be careful of the message we preach and the method we use. It's one thing to say I believe it, and it's another thing to practice it.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's the problem. You've got to do it.
The practice, friend, is what makes you who you say you are.
Amen.
He that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's works. No, it's something about works.
That's right. That's right.
You can't show me any word about where a little man didn't have faith. But he didn't have work.
That's right, brother. Amen.
That's it.
And they purified their hearts by faith.
Right.
Purified. This faith that doesn't purify is foreign to Bible faith.
That's right. That's right.
True.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been purified from my own filthiness.
Mm.
When did that happen? When I got saved.
Mm.
Where did it happen? In my heart. Who told me? The Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be convinced by anybody.
Right.
Hey, I'm saying that this represents the preparation of the soil, represents the convicting power of God.
Amen.
Crushing. When I was a youngster, I'm going to say probably 11, 12, maybe 13 years old, we had a house that we were renting, and our landlord, Mr. Jackson. You know, have you ever heard that word landlord before? You know what that means? That means he calls the shots because he's the lord of the land. He owns it. Well, that doesn't bother people to call a man who owns land a landlord, but it bothers people to call God Lord.
How about that? Yeah.
You know why he's the landlord? Because he bought that land and it was his. What he said was going to happen ought to happen because he owned it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He had a little old five-mile tractor. And he always would plow the field because I guess I was too young, maybe he thought anyways, to understand that I needed to get my eye on one thing, and he knows how kids are, you know. And, you know, just getting to drive the tractor, you know. And so after he would plow, he had a field that was out behind our house, and then he had another field up behind his house, and he plowed for a little garden in every year. Well, a pretty good sized garden. And he'd get me on the tractor after he plowed it, and he'd have me back up to the disc. I'd back up to that disc, and he'd put it in the back of the tractor and slide that, the tongue down in there, and put a bolt down in there, and screw the bolt down the back of the tractor, and say, "Go on." And I'd take off. And them old discs would come up till I got up to the field, and then I'd pull a lever down, and them discs would fall down onto the ground. And then he would tell me to drive this way, and then drive this way, and then drive this way, and drive this way, and then drive any old way you want to. Just make sure you get all the clods busted up.
Yeah,
I found out I was a busted up quad one day after I got saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'd go back and forth, and I'd drive around out there, and I'd go all around that, and I'd, you know, that disc would take, that plow had pulled up roots and all of that grass that had grown over the fall of the year and the winter time and all that hard ground, and it would tip it over, and that disc would take that ground and start cutting into it,
mm-hmm.
busting it all up.
Yeah.
Then after we got done doing that, I'd take the disc back over behind the barn, and he'd hook me up to the drag.
Yeah.
And them old, you know, fork and teeth things, you know, they called them the drag then. And they don't use all that stuff now. They just take a tractor now, and they put a hydraulic thing on it, and they just push the discs way down in the ground. They don't even plow anymore. Those discs go so deep, they just disc ground all up. Well, now the boy didn't have all that modern machinery. You know, it kind of reminds me of what we're doing in our church today. We've learned a faster way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
An easier way, a better way, you know, than the old way. They've got that chemical plant now. They just go through the field. They don't even plow it. They just throw a bunch of chemicals on it, and then they take the seed and they scatter it into the ground, and they punch holes, and they get that what they call no-till stuff. Going to find out that junk's going to cause cancer because it's got all them chemicals in it. Because you can't do better than what God said has to be done.
Amen.
But we've learned shortcuts.
Amen.
Quicker ways of doing things. How to build the biggest Sunday school in the year and all that stuff. Instead of just going into a land and plowing it like God said.
That's right, yeah.
Poor Adoniram Judson, what a failure he was.
Yeah.
Over there for years and years and years trying to translate a Bible for the Burmese people so they could hear the Word of God and understand and be converted.
Right.
And all those years he was over there, he only had one convert for, I think, 20 years, 15 or 20 years. You know, he didn't feel like a failure. He just kept on going and kept on plowing and kept on doing what God called him to do. And after he did all that plowing and all that planting, the next guy came in, all that labor that was done, and he reaped the harvest over there.
Amen.
But you know what we want? We want to go into a land, the first year we're there, and go, what thousands say?
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Well, you got to listen, you got to work on that heart. Jesus has to be Lord.
Yes, he does. Amen. Yes, he does.
Right.
He don't play second fiddle. No man can serve two masters. The message Jesus preached, but it went totally against the Pharisaical scribe doctrine. And I faced some of them Pharisaical scribes. Think about preaching like this, it reproves some things.
Yeah.
And an older preacher came to me one day and he said, you know what? You know why I'm mad about what you preach tonight? I said, why? He said, because there's a lot of older preachers out there that have been doing it the way that you preached against for years. And what you did was you made them feel bad. I said, they ought to then.
That's right.
Because some of them old preachers had me going to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Right.
Form of godliness. But they deny the power. I don't know why I can't have any excitement in my church. And nobody gets happy. Nobody weeps. And nobody has a burden.
Huh.
Because they don't serve God out of love for what he forgave them for. They just went down through this mechanical thing, and now they're like this, and they come to church, you know, and everything is, you know, like that, mechanics.
Yeah.
Tradition. We got into a rut.
Yeah.
The definition for a rut is a grave with both ends blown open.
Right. Uh-huh.
And that's where they're at, but they're in a grave. They're still
right.
Dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
You go in there and you put the plow point down, and you'll find out real quick what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can't preach this everywhere, Brother Tim. I do.
Yeah, I believe it.
So you won't have very many meetings. I had 46 last year. I ain't bragging. I'm just saying, friend, if God puts you in the ministry, you ought to tell people the truth.
Yeah, right.
Regardless of where you're at or who's there.
Right.
My folks are just chameleons, professional chameleons.
That's right.
They know how to change colors wherever they're at.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, Jesus preached pretty hard here.
Yeah.
He said that there was only one kind of hearer that was saved. The first three never understood.
That's right.
Only one understood.
You're right.
Only one. Now, I wrote some verses down about this understanding. I wrote some of them down this evening, and I felt as though the Holy Ghost wanted me to say something about them. In Psalm 14:2, it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God.
Yeah.
Oh! But wicked men and lost men don't seek God.
Right.
You hear that all the time, don't you? Lost people don't seek God. God seeks them. Hey, when God started seeking me, I started looking.
Right.
When he started after me, I started seeking. I wanted to know the truth.
Yeah.
And if I didn't understand the truth, I wanted to know so that I didn't die without God.
Yeah.
Understand means to perceive. or to be able to see what it is that's being said. Our folks just don't understand what's really being said today. You know why a lot of people are practicing the wrong thing? Because they ain't got anything genuine themselves.
Right.
You can only lead somebody as far as you've been led yourself.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If the blind lead the blind,
right,
bro. Mm-hmm. Both fall in the ditch.
Right.
And that's telling me we got a bunch of blind guides today.
Right, brother, we do.
Boys,
too. You know, prior to the times of the Jews being fulfilled, when Jesus began to deal with the Gentiles, there was darkness in the mind of religion in that day. They had learned how to do it without God.
Mm-hmm.
First thing they asked me, preacher, the first thing they asked me when I go off to these meetings, where'd you go to school?
Yeah.
No matter. Besides that, I don't want to tell you. I'm ashamed of it now. Because of what they taught while I was there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, my PE class, I was looked down on because I didn't practice their tactics. I wasn't even saved.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that. I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
The only reason I knew it was wrong is because we had old-fashioned priests in our church that told me so.
Yeah.
If I hadn't had that, I'd have been practicing what everybody else was practicing too. You know, put your hand on the Bible and claim this verse and you'll be saved. That kind of stuff. And I go away and I'll give you a personal illustration of it. I was out one day on the street with this guy and this preacher. I told him, I said, listen, brother, I said, I am not against going door to door. I'll do it. You want me to do it while I'm here? I'll go out and I'll do it. I'm for it. I did it when I passed in Kentucky. I did it when I passed in Alabama, but I didn't feed him a bunch of junk when I was at the door. I witnessed and testified about what God did for me.
Amen.
I said, I'm not going to twist anybody's arm and get him to go through some profession, some magical little order of events to get him to go, you know, to agree. I read in one book. I read one book on Let's Go Soul Winning to get him to do this. Get him to shake the head and agree with you.
Yeah.
If you get him to agree with you, you can get him to do anything.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I'm going to say something about it.
Come on.
I'm going to go ahead. I ain't going back down. I ain't going back up. I got a backup light on this message. I got it in forward gear and I'm trying to be a bulldozer.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a path straight so that God's seed can get into some ground and do something.
Right. You're right.
So anyways, I'm out on visitation with this fellow. This guy's wheeling a dolly in his arms and his hands, and he's wheeling all this Bud Light, Bud Bummer, and Michelob Dark and all that stuff into a bar. He's wheeling in the bar. And the guy with us, he's an evangelist, John Hammond from up Michigan, and this guy's wheeling in there and the guy says, hey, Tim, come here, I gotta talk to this guy. So I said, all right, I'll go over there with you. So we go over there and he starts talking to him and he gets the guy to go, he takes the guy all through it. The guy admits that, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, oh, sure I do. And he gets him to say the prayer and the whole shot and he says, now you're saved. And I said, good. You're going to heaven when you die. You're not going to go to heaven. Good. Takes the wheels and walks into the bar and takes the beer in there and I turn around and watch him. He came back out to the truck, got some more, took it back in.
Uh-huh.
I said, buddy, if that would have been Jesus who would have witnessed to him,
yeah,
he'd have thrown the keys in the truck and left the note to the owner, I don't do this anymore, I just got saved. And I preached at that night in the meeting I was at and it didn't go over too good. But it's true. Everybody in that book that ever got saved by the marvelous grace of God, he gets, where are you going, Jesus? I want to go with you. Where are you going to go now? Can I go? The man ran to Gadara. Jesus got kicked out of the town.
Yeah.
I guess that must be in pretty good company. I've been kicked out a few times too. And he said, this man ran to Gadara, got up and started following Jesus. Jesus didn't tell him to.
Yeah, that's right.
He started following him. Jesus said, hey, go and tell them what great things God did for you.
Amen.
Go back to Decapolis.
Yeah.
A decade. Well, a decade is what? 25 years? 10 years, right? 10 years. Decapolis comes from two words in the Greek language, deca, 10, apolis, meaning like Indianapolis, a city. 10 cities. And one man spread in 10 cities what great things God did for him. And didn't even go to soul winning seminar. He didn't say, Jesus, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Listen, if you got something from Jesus,
If you really got something from him, you can tell people what he did for you. You can tell them how he delivered you, how he saved you, how he made a new creature out of you. You ain't got to know all these little verses, this little mechanical stuff. We need to get back to doing it like Jesus said to do. Tell them what great things God has done for you.
Amen.
I can tell you what God did for me. This is strange. Here's a scribe comes up to Jesus in Mark chapter 12.
Yeah.
Says, he's been listening to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I say it's well. Jesus, I say it's well, the scribe did. He said, for the love of God, Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy understanding, with all thy strength, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus looked at that scribe and said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, scriptural understanding tells me that if you're not in the kingdom of God, you ain't saved.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to his scribe, you're not far from the kingdom, but he never tried to persuade him to get saved that day, did he? That sounds strange to me. I began to worry about that.
How about that?
This is where God looked down to see if there was anything that could understand and seek God. If that man would have been genuine when Jesus turned around to walk away, he said, no, don't go, Jesus. I've got to have some more help. Don't leave me now.
Right. That's good, brother.
But he didn't do that.
Yeah,
sure. Jesus knows what's in the heart of all men.
Yeah.
There's a lot of false professions been made because people don't really want what they say they do.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. You're right. They do it to get people off the back.
Right.
My mama had made a false profession of faith because the guy embarrassed her in the church service one night and wouldn't leave her alone until she finally said, okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
She started crying. The reason she was crying was because she was mad.
Right.
Because she wanted the guy to leave her alone and he wouldn't.
Right.
So she went down there and went through his little steps and they said, she got saved. And my mama got saved. You know, I graduated from high school, a preacher's wife, 1974 in our living room.
Yeah.
You know what, though? She had so much religion. She couldn't let go of it.
Right.
She crawled around on the floor saying, I can't trust him. I don't know how. I don't know how to let go.
Sure.
You know, because she had so much that she learned to do. She learned how. She knew how to trust God. She got saved. But she would, I remember my mama coming home. We'd come home from church. My mama would say, Dwayne, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm going to go out and buy me a fifth of liquor, put on a short mini skirt, and sell my body. Me and my brother sitting back, she'd go, what's she talking about? What's wrong with mom? She's trying to let people know she was wicked in her heart as an old harlot. It was down in her heart to be wrong. Her heart had never been cultivated. She had never been converted. She still had her own ways and wanted them. And she was trying to get somebody to help her.
Right,
and there's a lot of people like that. If they only knew the truth, they might be able to get some help. Our churches are full of people that have never been pure in their heart. God has never done a work in their heart because they've gone through some little mechanical step. Hey, the Jews were exactly in the place that the Gentile religion is tonight. They've learned how to do it without God. They even brag about it. They've gotten out of here, they're bragging about it in churches I go to. Why, we're so organized in this church, we don't even need God anymore.
Oh, man.
We can do it without him.
Mm.
It's a sad day. And there must be that understanding.
Yeah.
Now, if that confuses you, you ain't got nothing.
Right.
I think that's what that preserver of the way is.
Right.
There's only one way.
Right.
Jesus said he looked down. God looked down from heaven to see if there was any that understood and sought God.
Uh-huh.
Said he couldn't find any. Said he couldn't find any. And then in Psalm 82:5, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness.
Uh-huh.
You know what? You know why people don't have any more light than they got today? Because they're still walking on in darkness because they don't understand.
Right.
I'm kind of quiet right now, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and preach it. We're going to go ahead and say it. And I hope maybe you're thinking about it. That's good. That's good. I want you to look with me in Isaiah 44. I got some verses here I want to read to you. And the law of the harvest is this. The ground has to be prepared.
Right.
Now, that's not hard to understand, is it?
No.
See, but I was a young boy when I got saved. I was a young girl when I got saved. And I didn't have anything to repent of.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yes, sir. Yep, you repent.
Right.
He said, oh, likewise, perish. And Paul preached to every man, Gentile and Jew alike, repentance toward God and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't leave sugar out of your cake, but they'll leave repentance out of salvation. But I'm a Pauline follower, and Paul didn't preach repentance. I've heard him say that. I'm a Berean believer. And Paul didn't preach repentance for the New Testament. He got a brand new revelation of grace and found out that man saved by grace apart from any works at all. I'm saying to you, grace will make you work. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now I started dissecting that. That means Adam, Eve, Ezekiel,
yes,
Jeremiah,
yeah.
Isaiah,
praise
Hezekiah,
praise
right. Ahab,
hallelujah.
And Bill Clinton.
Amen.
The grace, I put them in the same category. The grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What is this grace? Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Any grace you have that doesn't change you ain't God's grace. Amen. Grace. You say, but if it's grace, it's not of works. I agree 100%.
Right.
I agree 100%. I didn't depend on anything I did the night I got saved. He saved me.
Right,
I didn't depend on anything I could say because prayer is a work of righteousness and I'm not saved by works of righteousness. So I wasn't dependent on what I said. I was dependent on who I was saying it to.
Yeah, amen.
But I don't even know what I said with these things. But I know what I said in here.
Yeah.
When I gave up,
yeah.
Said, I don't want anything but you, Jesus. And I know you can, and you will,
yes, sir.
And then he did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's it, buddy. And we might produce something. But are we producing what God said ought to be produced? We've produced a lot of things in this nation. But I don't know that God's so pleased with all of it. In fact, I know he ain't. Well, I told you to turn to Isaiah 44, didn't I? And then I left you hanging. Verse number 18. They have not known nor understood. For he had shut their eyes, oh boy, that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. He said, well, Tim, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Is it in your Bible?
Yep.
Dead.
Dead.
Well, who's he talking about? Those that have not known nor understood. They've closed their own heart.
Right.
Now they cannot understand because they won't listen to anybody else. If anybody preaches anything like this, you make people doubt. What am I making them doubt? What they have or what they don't have or what?
Come on.
You mean some of you can't take me to the place where God got a hold of your heart and showed you what you were?
Come on.
Showed you were lost?
Yes.
You can't do it, friend. You ain't got what it takes. And it ain't no wonder that people today are confused in this world because they've been led through that thing everybody else has got.
Lord help. Lord help.
I want you to look at another verse with me in Isaiah. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. And verse number 11. Well, let's start in verse number 10. His watchmen are blind. Oh, no! 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 Hey, what is the watchman in the Old Testament? He's the preacher. You know why they call him the watchman, don't you? Because he stood on the wall and looked for the enemy. You know what? They don't even see an enemy anymore.
That's
right. The watchmen are all blind.
Right.
Everybody's all right!
Come on.
Everybody's okay.
Come on.
Nothing bad's happening. Everything's good. Everything's nice. Y'all have peace. Peace, peace. When there is no peace. Peace, peace. Mm-hmm. You know that everywhere in the Bible you find peace, you find righteousness.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked.
Right.
And righteousness comes before peace at the work of the Holy Ghost in Romans chapter 14, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness, then peace, then joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. All right, brother.
But folk don't want that righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the mouth confession is made unto salvation, righteousness. We got to deal with the sinner where he's at.
Yes.
He don't want to listen. You can't force him.
Don't turn.
We need a burden. We need a burden for them. They're lost without God.
Right.
But it's not that we just need a burden. We need to do what we got to do that's right when we're doing it.
Right.
We can't be dumb farmers.
Right.
Just start and throw seed on everything.
Come on.
Throw seed. I'm going to get a crop because I'm going to give out the word. I'm going to... There's no plowing. This is sin. This is sin. This is against God. You're a wicked, low-down hellcat. You need to repent of your sin. They don't hear that anymore.
Right. Amen.
Huh? Why now, modern day evangelists tell us, you can get on your knee and say, Lord, be merciful to me and save me so I don't go to hell and get up and walk on in life and never have any fruit of holiness whatsoever and still be saved. That's the lascivious grace. No way, no way, no way. No way.
Right.
Amen, it is. Psalm 56, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. My. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark.
Right.
Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. Well, now, what does that mean? Well, there's a colon after understand, which means I'm going to explain it. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. That's what it means that they don't understand. They're looking for their gain. They're using the church for their gain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Daniel 9:13 says that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now that verse is telling me you can't understand until you turn from your iniquities.
Right.
That we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was saying in that verse, he was praying to God. He was saying, God, if we won't be willing to turn from our iniquities, we'll never understand your truth.
Right. Right.
I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you another verse, and then I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm trying to hurry. I'm concerned about our day.
Right.
I'm absolutely concerned about what I'm seeing.
Yes, sir.
It bothers me. Our churches are dying.
Yes, sir.
They're dead in their orthodoxy. The littlest thing offends people and makes them mad anymore.
Yeah.
I just go down the road. I'll go out here to Mayfield, down there to that other guy's church. He doesn't like shipwreck. Well, that's a personal thing around here anyway. But I'll just find me another independent Baptist church where I'm comfortable and I won't feel reproved. Yeah, the preacher has been talking to you about somebody, but yes, he has. And I know all about it. I've had a run-in with him, too.
Yeah.
And you can tell him I think he just needs to get saved if you see him. Amen. So you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm inspecting fruit.
Yeah, brother, come on.
When a man has a problem with conviction,
that's right,
and people get under conviction before they get saved, he's got a problem himself,
right,
or he wouldn't get upset
right
about it.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. You ain't never seen me in this frame. this is kind of my Tomcat sermon. I'm stretching on everything.
<That's all right. laughs>
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look what it says about these men that are false prophets among the people, false teachers. They bring in pride, a damnable heresies, and they deny the Lord that bought them. They contradict the Lord. And in verse number 12 of 2 Peter 2, it says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not."
Right. That's it. Right.
They're speaking evil about repentance today.
That's true.
They're speaking evil about God's ownership of His children and who's in authority. They're speaking evil about it.
Right.
And my Bible said the reason is because they don't understand.
Right.
That's scary.
Yes, it is, brother. It is.
It's really scary. Well, I haven't even got past the preparation of the soil yet. I just got one or two more things I want to say. I won't be done. There's the preparation of the soil before the planting of the seed. Now you can't help it. You're gonna throw some seed where the ground ain't prepared. That's gonna happen.
Right.
That means about 3/4 of everybody that hears it ain't gonna get saved.
Lord help.
I can't help that. I'm sorry. I don't like that. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I don't want anybody to die without God. Spend eternity without God. Never to hear another "just as I am" without one plea sung to him. Or "have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." I don't want anybody to die and go there. That ain't right. In my heart, it ain't right. But if they won't listen after they've heard, they won't allow the Word of God lodging in their heart in such a way that it pulls out the things that ought not be there so the seed can get planted in the right way, there ain't nothing I can do for them.
You're right.
I planted, Apollos watered, Paul said, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
The planting of the seed, how does it get planted? Well, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the word "preach" means a town crier. That's what the word "preach" means. In the English language, it means a town crier. To proclaim with a loud voice. I've been doing my best ever since I found out that's what I was supposed to be doing. I've been doing my best ever since. To warn people. That's what the town crier did. He'd go through town. 9:00 and all's well. I couldn't say that tonight. 9:00 and all ain't well.
Right.
We're in bad shape in this nation. We're hurting in our churches.
Yes, sir.
Well, there used to be life. Churches I went to. Dead orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Worldliness. Those what they call carnal Christians are filling our churches. Everything else is choking out the Word. You wonder why they don't give to get a lot of missionaries to the foreign land? Yeah, because the materialism of their own life. Choking out what God's Word's trying to do. They ain't saved. It hurts.
Yes, it does.
But it's true. They will never be popular doing that. I didn't come here to be popular.
Right.
When God called me to preach, I didn't surrender to be a man pleaser.
Right. Right.
My job is to please God.
Yes.
What else do I see here in the soil? I see the preparation of it, and then I see the planting of the seed, but I also see the perseverance of the sower. The sower soweth. Soweth the word. That means that's a continuous action verb.
Yes, yes.
He keeps on sowing.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? You know what I found out about sowing that word? It cultivates. That word will pulverize the hard places.
Uh-huh.
That word, God uses it to do the plowing. That's why the sower keeps on sowing. He keeps on sowing. He keeps on sowing. He keeps on putting the word out. He keeps on letting the word pulverize the ground. That's part of sowing the seed. That's the law of the harvest. You don't plant the seed, or water it, and then cut it down the same day.
No, sir.
So I've been trying to labor. And I don't care if somebody else does reap my benefits. My job is just to keep laboring. Just to keep plowing. Just keep doing it. Amen. That's my job. That's what God called me to do. So I'm just going to keep right on plowing. But I want to know I'm doing it right.
Yes.
Souls, I am the balance today. Not only the law of the harvest, but the laborers of the harvest. Jesus said they're few. That is, they're scarce. In Matthew 9, I want to read it. I'm about done. I'm just about done. I promise I am. I didn't mean to keep you long, and I don't think I did. But in Matthew 9, 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in this harvest.
Amen.
I see the laborers of the harvest. They're scarce. But also he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in this harvest. Whose job is it to send the laborers? The Lord. And we've got the idea today that a man can just volunteer without a call.
Come on.
That's a problem too.
That's right. Yeah.
When did God ever call you to preach?
Yeah.
You mean you heard an audible voice? No, it's louder than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I wasn't saved very long, and I was sitting at my workbench. And the Lord said just plain to me as he did when he told me I was lost. And just as plain as when he told me I was saved. He said just as plain, I want you to preach. Mm-hmm. I said, now Lord, I got a good job here. I got a good job, and I can give a lot to the church with this job, and I can give a lot to missionaries and evangelists when they come by. And the Lord said, I don't want your money, buddy, I want you. Mm-hmm. And I remember that night saying, all right, Lord, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. And I had no idea what he was going to do when I said that. I about broke my workbench in half. A peace flooded my soul, and I knew I wasn't going to be in there very long. I knew it. I knew God was going to use me. I had a message. I was lost and got found. I was blind and I can see. I was deaf and I can hear. I was dead and now I live. And who did it? He did. He did it. He did a work in me that I don't ever have to worry about. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. If man does it, it won't last. That's what's happening all around. That's what's happening. Ministries are crumbling all around us. Because what man's done in these days. God help us. God help us to be the right kind of laborer. The law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. The laborers of the harvest. And then the Lord of the harvest. Mm-hmm. If he's the Lord of the harvest, then we can't tell him how to do it, but he can tell us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we need to listen to what he says. We need to get back to being Bible believers. We claim it all over the country. We thump the Bible on everybody. We're Bible believers, Bible believers, Bible believers, Bible believers. We're Bible believers, Bible believers, Bible believers, Bible. And we don't even practice what's in the Bible.
That's right.
Come on.
Right.
I stand on the word. I stand in it. Hey, well, we need to get back to standing in it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. The laborers of the harvest, they're few, they're scarce. They're selected, they're sent. But the Lord of the harvest, he's the owner and the overseer. And he's the Lord of it, which means he can tell us how to do it.
Amen. That's
right. Amen. Now, I do believe with all my heart this is more or less, I guess I could say, a message of warning and instruction. And so somebody said, who do you think you are? Preaching like this, I wonder that myself sometimes, and then the Lord reminds me who I am.
Yeah.
You think you got a mandate from God or something to correct everybody? I don't have to correct everybody. Some people are right. If you're right, this message ain't bothering you in the least. But if you've been practicing it wrong, but this thing got a hold of you. And if you ain't ever let God cultivate your heart so you can understand what it is he's trying to do, it bothered you. And should have. Should have. Because we need something that's real today. Not something that's counterfeit. Let's pray. Father, tonight we come, Lord, with... Lord, we got heavy hearts, but we got open hearts tonight. Lord, as I look this scripture over time before and time again, I can't get anything else out of it except what you're saying in it. Lord, we got to get back to where we let you do the job and do the work. I know, Lord, that you sent us to be ministers in your harvest. You sent us to minister to every man that we can. So we're somebody's minister tonight. Help us to be the right kind. To warn them correctly. To win them correctly. Witness to them correctly. God, help us, I pray tonight. Lord, God, I don't know how to run this invitation. I ain't got no idea how to do it. But you're the Lord of the harvest. And I sowed the seed, and I'm just going to look to thee to give the increase. We're going to give you the glory for it now. Lord, there's people here tonight that are lost. You know about that. Some of them here tonight, their hearts have already been pulverized and beaten down. And Lord, I pray that the good seed of God tonight would fall on that good soil and bring forth fruit. Give us what we need now in this invitation time in Jesus' name.